Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's Friday, TGIF. Thanking God it's Friday. How you doing today? Oh, it's been a week, hasn't it? Oh, just the heaviness, not only in the air, literally, with the smoke and the ash flying around here in the Pacific Northwest. It's just a heaviness all the way around. And this day, 9/11, 19 years ago, of course, you and I, those of us that are were around then, that some people like my daughter who wasn't even born, she was born on the 21st of September, you know, she didn't know what this was like this day. And so it's very interesting time that we live in. And as I kind of batted around, what did I want to do about 9/11? What did we want to do about the show today? I brought in two of my favorite co-hosts, and one is my beloved Terry. Hello, good morning to
good
you.
Morning.
And then my new brother from another mother, Josh, he is here
good
too.
Morning.
And we have much to talk about this morning in regards to just what's happening around and getting people updated. And certainly as the stories are coming in, certainly, again, that heaviness and that spirit. And I want to do hats off to my friend Julie Norwood in South Dakota. She is a morning broadcaster, and she has 97.9 The Breeze. She's a program director there, and they spent a significant amount of their prayer time. It's a Christian radio station praying for us here in Oregon, and a shout out to her. And I was extremely encouraged by that. And we are in a place in our country where we are questioning everything, right? Why are we living in this time? What is going on? What does the future hold? You know, as you look at Facebook and the posts that are all around, it's like questions. Even right before we went to bed, I said, hey, Terry, take a look at this, and some theories about the fires, and can we even get out if all the interstates are blocked, and a firestorm? I mean, all of this stuff. And we can get caught up in that, and anxiety builds, and it affects our health and our immunities and all of that. And we've already been dealing with that with COVID-19. And so first and foremost, I want to say to you, friends, if you're feeling the heaviness and you're feeling just totally overwhelmed by everything, you're not alone. Those of us, even Pollyanna Stacy is feeling it too, and that we have a hope we can hold on to. And we're here with one another, and we want to encourage you. And there was an amount of good that happened yesterday. An incredible amount of good that happened. Our friends at Honky Tonk Bar and Grill, they were going up and down the Saniam Highway to the different fire departments, and everybody's been giving food and socks and things like that. Our friend Amy Corser, she went down even over to Lincoln City and helping with the fire department. She went up the pass as well. And people are giving, donating to United Way. You guys are responding, and you're doing what you can do. And I just
Sean was
say
actually looking for a larger trailer yesterday because there were so many donations. He was running his little truck ragged.
Yes.
So they were overwhelmed. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and that Sean is, he's been on the air here with us before, and it was kind of his idea, let's do something. And Josh, I know you were out and about yesterday. What kinds of things did you see people responding?
I was helping Sean. We were going around, and we went to just make those goods and deliveries, and it was just a flood of donations and stuff. And there were a lot of good people out there. They just don't know what to do, but they just want to help out. And we provided them a vessel.
One of the fairgrounds was like, okay, don't bring any more food.
Right.
Take it to another spot. I think they were getting fat out there.
And they were taking that stuff and taking it to other fairgrounds. Yeah. I saw a shout out this morning to Mickey Garris, who's on the weekend. He has a show, Patriot Uprising, and he was helping at Polk County. And they were going to get 30 hogs in. What can you do to help us get these unloaded? And so these are families and businesses that have been impacted already by what's been happening in the last 6 months. And now this. And we're all rolling up our sleeves. And again, the irony of it, our churches have been empty. We haven't been allowed to meet. Our fairgrounds, we haven't been able to have our county celebrations, and yet they are there for us. They're there. They're showing up.
The church really is the people.
Mm-hmm. It's really about the people. And so, again, as we think about 9/11, I shared a couple things on our Facebook page. First and foremost, right out of the chute, was a very inspirational song from Dolly Parton, Zach Williams, and For King and Country, just allowing hope and faith to arise. And by our actions, I think we're stirring each other up and reminding us that we are in this together, and we're here for one another. And if you're feeling overwhelmed today and you need some help, maybe you just need to talk to someone, I want to encourage you to send me an email, Stacy@kslm.news. Call in on the show today. Join in on the conversation. We're here together. And it's 9/11. 19 years ago, I remember specifically where I was. Single mom, three little kids, getting them up and ready for school, and watching on the news in utter shock. And I've used this illustration a few times going through the COVID and when everything's been upended. Not since 9/11 has our routine and our schedule been so upended. Now we're in COVID, and now we have this fire stuff going on. And so there's lots of things that make us go, about 9/11. And even in Jeff's show earlier, the first hour from 6 to 7, there were people, it was his Freedom Friday, and you could call in and talk about what was on your mind and your thoughts about 9/11, things like that. And there were a lot of theories and ideas. And I know that Terry, and I know that Josh, both of you have some ideas and things that you want to contribute to the conversation. It's not to take away from those that have passed. And not to dishonor. This is Patriot Day. They've renamed it, right? 9/11 Patriot Day, in honoring those that were lost. But you have some things that you could contribute to the conversation and just make kind of stir, not in a negative way, but to make us as smart, common sense individuals to not just take what the mainstream media tells us is happening, right? Josh, what do you think about that?
Well, I think 9/11 definitely raises a lot of interesting points, but more importantly, I think it's a pivotal time in our country to where people, it allowed for a gap for people to kind of open up their mind and realize that there are people and different things that happen, and things aren't always what they seem.
Mm-hmm.
So it really stemmed and planted a seed for what modern day Q movement, modern day people, just regular people. I think regular people are questioning things more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that did stem from the foundation of what 9/11 was and what it was created, and how kind of the outcomes of how people have evolved on how they perceive and look at things.
Right.
You know, so it was really the first opportunity for people to start questioning stuff. So
I agree. And Terry, you know, you and I kind of joked a little bit about everybody always goes back to where were you? And that's the same with Elvis, when Princess Diana died, you know, these significant
the Challenger,
where mm-hmm. were you? And I know exactly where I was when I heard all of those things. And it is, but I think it's the humanity part of it. And Terry, where were you when 9/11 happened? What was going on in your life? Because we didn't know each other then.
No. Well, I was a meteorologist at Fort Knox, and I'd just gotten off a night shift, and I just started, got home, got in bed, kind of watching TV, you know how you do, trying to wind down.
Mm-hmm.
And that I just started 3 days off, and I didn't go back to work for about a week because they locked everything
mm-hmm.
down. But I do remember this. You know what? I'm kind of the type of person that I try to make lemonade out of everything. And what I think about when I think back is like the next few days, just driving around. And, you know, if you stopped at a four-way, people smiled and they waved you on. And if somebody needed to get into traffic, you waved them in. It was overwhelmingly positive. You know, we were all kind of shook up and we realized, hey, we only have each other.
Mm.
And so that's the strongest emotion I remember from that time, not the terror or the questions or what was going on, but how people instantly changed
mm-hmm.
and were just like, dude, yeah, here, I'll help you out, man. No, don't worry about it. We're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that again when these fires happened.
Right.
And even with COVID, you know, we all kind of look at each other across our masks and go, hey, we're in this together, dude. We'll get it figured out, man. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's the good part of mm-hmm. a terrible thing mm-hmm. that I remember.
Josh, where were you?
I was getting ready for school.
Yeah. What, were you like six?
But the thing to remember is that we all, the three of us, were alive during that time. And I think about this whole generation now that are in college and all they have is the textbook and all they have is people's opinions or what they are supposed to be told about what had happened. Right. Mm-hmm. And certainly they're kind of crisis babies in a sense that they were born in that time and they were parented differently than even older children in the home, like my older children. My son Dylan's almost 30, and certainly it's a different perspective. He remembers that, and I remember just a week after, I have it hanging on my wall right across the hallway there in the office. My Nathan, who is three, drew a beautiful picture of a home and a flower and a picket fence kind of thing, just a real peaceful picture in a really upended time where we didn't know what the future held. And certainly as parents, you're thinking about your kids. And that's where we're at now, right? You're a father, you have young children, and you're thinking about the future and where we're at here in the Pacific Northwest and in our, as a country. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's really just an interesting thing we have to navigate, and I really think it's more of a spiritual thing. We're all being tested right now, and it's a golden opportunity to show your humanity and show who you are as a person, right? We get so caught up and consumed in our lives, we neglect our aunts and uncles and relatives and, you know, just really kind of have, you know, stepped away from the humanity side of it to where this is a golden opportunity for anybody to rise up and, you know, just don't worry about everything else going on in the world. Worry about your community, worried about things locally, things that you can impact. And there are a lot of people probably around you right now that you maybe haven't been paying attention to where you just look around and they're right there and they're waiting for you to speak to them. So,
oh, what a great point. Be present, right?
Yes.
Be in the moment and be present and be thankful. Any thoughts before we go to break? We're going to be going to break here pretty soon.
Yeah.
What you want to add to that?
Well, no, yeah, just, you know, actually I do, you know, when you think about the questions we have and things we see and things we don't understand, it's okay to think on that. Don't base your life on that. Don't get so disoriented and feel overwhelmed, but think big, but live small. Live in today. And your interactions of the day. Think on the big things, question, talk with others, but live in the moment.
And I think that's really good, even as we move into the political, you know, the last few weeks here moving towards election. You know, I saw people comment even on our KSLM Facebook page about why are you, even these fires, why are you making it political? You know, we need to stick together. And those are all good points. But we all come to the table with our experience and our filters, in a sense, of how we view the world based on where we've been and our understanding of it, right? And so we have to have some honor of other people and their perspectives and yet come to some reasoning. We need to reason together, and I think our whole society has kind of lost that ability to kind of reason and look at the facts and just do the discovery, correct? Don't you think?
Yeah, an example that comes to mind as you talk about it, I think about ants. And I think they have individual jobs, but yet as a group, they can do great things, powerful things.
That's awesome. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 7:19 in the morning. We'll get to the weather forecast, talk a little bit about the fire when we get back. Radio. It's 7:22 in the morning. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Our studio line is 503-589-1220. You're welcome to join the conversation. We're having a good talk this morning about all that's going on throughout our community and certainly our nation as it is 9/11 Patriot Day. We're remembering and we're also being good want to be good stewards of the information that we're getting. And it is interesting, as I spent time yesterday, my daughter and Tyler, we all went to find some fresh air. We were on a journey to the coast. In fact, we went up to Astoria trying to find, and up through Portland and up through Vancouver, trying to find some fresh air. And everything is affected and infected by the smoke and we did in the haze. And even as we got into Seaside, some of the stores were closing, and it was nothing like Salem, but some of the stores had been closing because of the smoke that was in that area as well. But it was nice to get out, because it was nothing like Salem, to get some fresh air and get that sea breeze going. And all of us are looking for ways for an ounce of positive, or that silver lining, right now during this time. But when I got back, I had tons of notifications and information, and that they are arresting and they've been finding arsonists and looters, and that crazy story about the two guys that have been spotted all over.
I watched a chase yesterday.
Did you watch that?
Right in Staten. There were two guys, and they cornered them.
Whoa.
Right at the golf course right there.
That's the guys that were in the van.
Yep. And so we were right there. Me and Sean were right there, and we watched the whole thing happen. So when people are like, oh, that's not happening, or that's not true, it's like, well, you know, I did see it. So and we were listening to it on the scanner.
Yes.
It was pretty interesting, because we were delivering food to the sheriff station right there at the mm-hmm. Shemeketa. And a couple of cops ran out, jumped in their cars, and they're gone.
You couldn't have been any closer.
Yes.
No, we were right in it.
An eyewitness. And that's the thing that's so frustrating to me, okay, is that people are telling their stories of what they saw and what they know to be true. This gal, and Facebook is taking it down, saying it's fake news. And this gal giving testimony that her husband saw. He was just doing his work, and they're trying to get organized or whatever with moving and evacuating, and he saw himself, gentlemen, starting big old hay bales on fire.
Trying to,
and got run off.
Well, you can't start hay bales like that unless you have gas. I mean, people don't.
It's pretty tough.
If you've never been on a farm, I mean, those things don't just light.
Right.
They seems like they would, but they're so dense.
Right.
It's like trying to light a phone book.
Yeah.
This is true. And they had gas masks on. So tell me this isn't a coordinated, some sort of effort, right?
Well, in that, so it's really interesting. You know, the fires are still going, and everybody's still, there's still people evacuating, it's spreading. They don't have it contained. They don't have all this stuff yet. KGW has literally posted online and said they have verified that no, Antifa did not start the wildfires in Oregon. Well, the fires are still burning, and they don't know. How are they able to even put this out? They're putting out news and stating that they've done all the research and it's been debunked, when the reality is we don't know yet.
All the facts aren't in.
The facts
aren't
in.
You can't make a judgment.
But they're making a fact to saying, well, it's not this. And it's like, well, how interesting, though, is it that they're already coming out with that, because there's so much overwhelming stuff and content happening. Granted, you want to take it for what it is, but just like how it was, you know, 30 years ago, you would hear things, and sometimes you would believe it, sometimes you wouldn't. We have this thing called instinct and gut and, you know, just these aspects. And so I think for Facebook to censor that video or any videos is just, it's just wrong.
Well, and here's the thing that I was thinking, as you're saying KGW or whoever has verified that for fact it wasn't them, I'm thinking, oh, do they have a hotline to Antifa now?
Right.
Or
right.
Did they do a press conference?
Did
you
they
know?
Set it and say, well,
did they
set
it? Well, it was these guys.
It was us.
You know,
how could it be them?
Over there?
I saw a meme, too, that said, you know, yeah, the mob denies that they're in existence as well. And I thought that was really funny. And so it is an interesting time. And what I do know that is this. A lot of families that have evacuated, you know, are concerned about their belongings and the things that do or will survive, you know, because some have evacuated in level two. I would say, just for protocol and safety, be careful what you share on Facebook about that you've evacuated,
right.
And those kinds of things. Be aware, do things like that. If you have neighbors still in the area, you know, that haven't left yet, you network again. That's that community thing, staying connected. And I know they say that, when you go on vacation, don't tell the whole world, at least your open networks, that you're on vacation.
But then everybody says, look, I'm in Mexico.
Yes, and we know the Pollard House is now open.
My
for...
trees are okay.
That's right.
Nobody's there.
That's right. At this address.
And so, but it is.
He's under the mat.
It's conflicting. Yeah, exactly. Under the rock, the fake rock.
Hey,
my
don't
yard.
Tell him about the rock. Crazy.
So it is an interesting it's an interesting time that we live in, but we do have to have that common sense filter. And again, I keep coming back to this, where you don't have charts measuring common sense. It's measuring everything else, you know.
I like the gut illustration. You know, sometimes you see something and you're like, that don't filter.
Right.
That don't smell right. But you're not censoring it.
And you're just like, okay, well, you just move on. Yeah. Right. And so the fact that Facebook and now KGW are actively trying to censor that or discourage it, you know, just that raw content, I think, is we used to be able to decipher what was right.
I see this Stacy's show here as being a great way for people that are out there. Look, this is what I saw with my own eyes, mm-hmm. bringing real news out.
Yes.
Nothing that can be filtered or anybody can say it sideways. So, I mean, if you have news, give us a call and say, this is what I saw. This is the real. This is, I mean, good and bad. We'd love to hear some positive things today, too, how people help with animals or whatnot.
Yeah, if you're out in the trenches and you've been volunteering, I know my friend
you're
Karen.
You're the best source.
Yeah, Karen was giving us an update, and she'd been to Dallas and over to helping with, I think, at the fairgrounds here. If you've been rolling up your sleeves and helping, if you're listening today, we'd love to hear from you. 503-589-1220. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? We're starting to find stories online. They're heart-wrenching. Beyond words of what's going on. The people now, there's a Facebook page of missing family. They're starting, you know, that's the sad part. They were illustrating on or highlighting last night on the news of a gentleman who he has no idea about his brother and his mother and things like that they had communicated early on, but they have not heard anymore. So we invite you to be a part of the conversation this morning. Hey, maybe even tell us where you were on 9/11. Join in the conversation, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, wherever you're at, listening this morning. Maybe you're in Salem, Silverton. Maybe you're in Dallas. How about Arkansas, South Dakota, Texas? Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday. And it is kind of random Friday, even though it's 9/11 and Patriot Day. We're remembering together today, and certainly we are ramping up the prayers in regards to all the families. Right now, the headlines on the Statesman Journal, as I pull it up here, it's saying death toll so far 16 as extreme fire continues to rage in the West. And here's something that's interesting, and I've got Terry and Josh in the studio with me as my co-host.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. You guys, I don't know if you can see this. I'm holding it up so you can take a gander at it. The headlines, it says, why didn't residents know about catastrophic wildfire until the very last second? And it goes into the story of where people didn't even know, and like they didn't even get alerted, or their phone was on silent at night, you know, those kinds of things. And it does bring to question, when we're so extremely connected in these days and times where we seem like we're getting information constantly, that a lot of these, I think if we find out some of the loss that we're gonna hear about, maybe these people didn't get it notified, because a lot of this happened through the night. And I wondered, talk a little bit about that, and you know, how we can equip one another to stay in the know and stay connected. Again, we've been through this season, right, where we were all isolated, shelter in place because of COVID, and now all of a sudden a catastrophic event happens and residents didn't know until the last second. And I know even good friends of the radio, the owners of the radio station here and good friends, you know, they got knocks on the door, and there's only so many law enforcement mm-hmm. folks. And remember, we've just gone through this season of defund our law enforcement.
Yeah.
Defund our police, defund our sheriff, defund this, defund that. Hello, who's going to knock on the door? And they did extraordinary effort to get people alerted and aware, but there were people camping. There were people, so there's a lot of unknown things.
Well, if you're out camping and you're out away from cell towers, there is no technology. I mean, to get you. But now, speaking of technology, you know, oftentimes I'll turn my phone off at night. I mean, either the silencer, because I don't want some friend of mine that works the night shift sending me a funny and it goes, bloop, bloop, you know, and I'm like, yeah. Grr. So now, but perhaps there should be some kind of override on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in Arkansas, you know, we're close to a tornado alley.
Right.
And oftentimes tornadoes happen at night. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I don't know if there's an app for it, if there's a different way to go about things. But
there's this thing that they used to have is called a siren.
Yes. Josh, yeah. You're
so
spot on.
I mean, it really, I don't think relying on your technology ever for anything, is a good thing. Granted, it's great 99.99% of the time, but we're going to find in some of these cases there that one failure.
Use a siren for the fire?
They did in Turner.
Oh, they did in Turner.
If nothing else, it would get your attention. You're like, oh, I better check my phone. What's going on?
They definitely did in Turner, and it resonated throughout the whole city.
And it alerts
town,
people to know.
There's something going on.
And in the Little House in the Prairie days, I go back everything based
you were there,
on
right?
Little House in the Prairie days, the communities used bells and signals. And in biblical days, they used, shofars and things to alert community. And again, I think my point is this. And I think where I'm going with this, and I want your input on this, is how important community is, right?
Yes.
And we've been in this season of isolation. Mm-hmm. Go to your house. Stay away. Mm-hmm. Remember, even Labor Day weekend, don't get together. Don't be with your family because of spread. And even some of the hurdles, and I don't know, Josh, you guys have been more on the front lines, but some of the hurdles of trying to help people and try to get them evacuated, and where do you put them because of all these regulations now of COVID?
I didn't hear a lot of that. About
I didn't
the
hear
state.
Any
anybody saying. I didn't hear the governor saying
been,
get together, but stay apart.
Yeah, over the weekend before all this hit on Monday. She was wanting everybody to stay apart.
Of course,
but
she does.
So at the fairgrounds, my understanding is they couldn't take certain things that people needed because of COVID. They had to, they could only take so many people because of COVID. And I think community is so extremely important. And what I love to see is people looking out for one another. Mm-hmm. And the other article in here, as you look at the Statesman Journal, if you take the Statesman Journal and you look online, is how people are starting to return despite the closures to make sure that their houses are well. And then they talk about misinformation, things like hearing that the gingerbread house burnt down and then find out it wasn't, things like that. There's some misinformation. And so I get the whole, is it Antifa or isn't Antifa? I mean, I understand we don't want to have social contagion of misinformation,
right.
But that's part of the human experience as well, trying to grab onto.
Well, we're connected enough now. Just again, I can't stress it enough. If there's folks out there that have real news and have, because this can be the mouthpiece of real news.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Josh, you are well connected and you're kind of a techie guy and that's what you do for business.
Nerd.
he's not a nerd.
The term is geek. Okay.
Geek.
Oh, my bad.
The cool term is geek.
The cool term.
But he doesn't even have a pocket. So back in your day, it would be nerd because
you
have the
protector over
pocket
here.
Protector.
You gotta protect him, man.
This is my pocket protector.
There you go. He is the man in the know. And so what kinds of suggestions do you have for individuals that, technology wise, but also just practical?
Yeah. So the best thing is to think practically, obviously you're going to want to keep your phone have go bags ready. If you guys are in that surrounding area, you want to make sure that you have plenty of water, some things to munch on, because we get manic if our blood sugar gets low, having snacks, making sure if you have kids or animals or anything like that, you have a plan or a means to prepare for that, because the National Guard's not even getting in there until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some National Guard friends, and they were complaining to me last night how they got to pack their bag now. Mm. And they thought they were just going to have to do drill, you know, once a month. But now they actually have to work.
Yeah.
Well, so I was like, go get him, soldier.
No more weekend warrior. They're actually in the game.
Which is great because that's what we need. You know, based on what I'm seeing with the spread of this fire, I mean, there's not a lot of containment going on and everything else. So it's really important that we get out there. You know, there's a lot of arguments of what can we do or what can these, you know, first responders be doing to be fighting this fire, waiting for it. I mean, they have their tactics and they have their ways, but just getting more people out there I think is important.
The sad part for me, and we heard about this a little bit on Jeff's show, there are many farmers, many timber folks who know how to protect their land and they know how to get involved and they have the equipment, and they've been barred from being a part of this. And that's been very, very frustrating. And that's, again, a bureaucratical hoop that they have to jump through. And so you wonder how much containment could we have had early on had they let the communities, again, local control, let them deal with this the way that they needed to. And the no backburning to stop it. There's no real plan. And you're looking at the map right now, I'm guessing.
It's spread. It's crazy to
have
me.
Have they merged?
Not yet.
They're
close.
The talk about merging the two fires, yes.
But yeah, it just shows, I mean, you obviously make your own judgments and stuff, but, you know, Kate Brown isn't the end-all be-all. We all know how uneducated she is about certain things, and I know she doesn't know anything about wildfires, so.
And the difficulty is, for me, is that we have expertise. We have the people that know these mountains and the hills and all of the geographic ways to handle this, and they're not allowed to participate. And now you're telling me, I thought a couple days ago the National Guard was activated. Are you saying just
they were activated, but they haven't began to engage the fire yet?
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So based on what I hear. If somebody wants to correct me, feel free to call in.
Well, I do know this. Driving back into town last night or yesterday afternoon, I saw several rigs coming in, several rigs with equipment coming into the area from whomever. It was the U.S. government on the license plate, so I'm assuming it's National Guard or firefighting, you know, U.S. Force firefighting, reinforcement. Yes, all of that coming in down. There was several cars, so I know that reinforcement is on the way. In the meantime, we have several friends that are displaced and evacuated. And
I was talking with a guy at work and that has done this before. He was, I'm not sure which branch he was in, but he was in maybe the Army Guard or something like that, and he went out and did this some years ago. He's like, it's terrible. He's like, it's the worst job. He hopes he never has to do it again.
Wow.
Just the physical of it, the breathing of it, the danger, the stress. I mean, you're just out there just freaking out. So,
and
really
the kinds of things that are needed on the front lines, Josh, we're finding like lip balm, hand lotion, socks, gloves, things like that.
Yeah. Well, I almost think it's at a point to where they should allow for more volunteers. I mean, I know for a fact there's a lot of community people that would love to help out any way that they can. If they could take direction from a specialist or somebody that understands these things.
Give
and
me
just
a shovel.
Needs, yeah, exactly. Yes. And how that's not being orchestrated at this point, you know, this thing's spreading and it's getting larger. More people are getting displaced. I think 10% of Oregon now is in the dangers of being displaced. It's 500,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, are we going to sit back and let this thing happen and just leave it to the experts, or can we kind of
there should
you know,
be
get
some
involved?
Kind of a,
there should be a resource.
Able body volunteerism type thing. Buses showing up at the campgrounds. All right, any men that want to grab a shovel and a pair of gloves and a mask, come with me. And these guys are standing around now that everything's secure. They've got their animals, their families are safe. They're like, yeah, I don't want to just stand here and eat food. I'm ready to get to it.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a great thing if buses went around, picked these gentlemen up and ladies too, you know.
Well, and our elected leaders, you know, I think that they could override some of this stuff if they got together.
There you go.
In emergency session, override some of these decisions that are being made. We need some leadership now. We're in a critical point. We have been for over 6 months. It's time to do something. You're listening
Take
to Reliable
action.
News Talk Radio, KSLM, hanging out with Terry and Josh in the studio today. Join the conversation, 503-589-1220. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Opening up the phone lines in the little bit of time that we have left, wanting to hear from you. Adding to the conversation today, good morning to you. I believe our friend Art is on the phone with us today. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, you guys. I hope you're doing well. You know, a big problem with fighting those fires is that the stuff up there in certain areas are so thick, you really can't get on the ground and fight the fire actively and really be safe. There's so much underbrush. They don't do any controlled burning anymore here in Oregon because of the environmentalists. I mean, you got too many trees in areas that haven't been thinned.
So,
and that's what makes it so dangerous. If you see areas that survived the fires were actually like subdivisions that didn't have a bunch of grass and underbrush and mm-hmm. stuff close, and so those areas survived the fires. But some areas were really close to the trees, and you know, there was so many of them that of course those places burned down. And so we got to make sure that our state does appropriate timber management.
I agree.
Controlled burns during the winter to get rid of the thick underbrush and stuff, and then we won't have disasters like this. It's when we don't do appropriate timber management.
That's
we
a great
end
point.
Up with stuff like this, and it's a real shame.
Yes, it is a shame, Art. You're exactly right. And Josh, you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, so it's really interesting that you say that, and that is a really good point in regards to, you know, but here's an interesting thing is how is it that the governor is going on national TV stating that these fires are happening because of climate change and because of all these things, without a doubt, when it's those climate change policies that are referring to the non-brush removal and the non-controlled burns and all the environmental protection stuff, which is actually in return causing a lot of these issues.
Well, so, and I remember even back when I lived here 30-some years ago, the whole spotted owl issue, and it prevented our timber industry to get in there and do what they needed to do, mm-hmm. and it just propelled from there. We've been abdicated our role as really managing our timber areas as needed to prevent catastrophic things like this, and that's what's really hitting. So it's easy to just kind of say, oh, it's global warming. Well, hello. No, it's bad forest management, and we've been talking about that for years, and the legislature's tried to address it, but then guess what? The Republicans can't talk about it because it's all supermajority, and so it does come in for those out there. Well, don't make these fires political. We can't help but make them political because we are where we're at because of the decisions that have been made. Exactly. Thank you, Art, for adding to the conversation
this
morning.
Correct. Until we make changes, we're going to have this stuff continue to happen.
Right. That's
so
right.
I think you should run for governor,
good
Art.
Good leadership to manage our forest and make sure, you know, that there are controlled burns and that trees are selectively harvested so that we don't have tinder boxes.
Yeah, that, what you're trying to say. Art, Josh had a suggestion. Maybe you should run for office, huh?
That would be, Art.
We'd vote for you, Art. You have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so
you
much. Have
too.
A great day.
Bye.
Take care. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a good discussion this morning about kind of the state of the state and where we're at and all of these fires and just our... it's an opportunity. We've been talking about that with COVID, the reset, you know, and having us reflect of where we're at and what's important in our priorities. And then when you and I, Terry, we talked about the other night, okay, what's our plan? Where are our documents? What do we need mm-hmm. to do? Josh, I'm sure you had to help your mom evacuate animals and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, it makes you think, what's your plan? And if you don't have a plan, That's not good either. And so our listeners need to we all need to have a plan. Yeah. And what's our plan? So, Josh, what would you say to folks? What do they need to do?
Like I said, just have a go bag, have a location. It's really important, just like what they used to teach everybody and what mm-hmm. everybody used to talk about. If there's a fire in the house, we're all going to meet at this spot.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a fire in our community, we're all going to meet at this spot. If you lose sight or lose communication or, you know, something, where are we all going to go? Reach out to your friends, family, and neighbors and establish that right now. Even though you may not be affected at this run, but maybe something else might come up later, to where it's just really important to always have that in the back of your mind that you can go to. So that's first and foremost. And secondly, you know, obviously getting your important items and stuff available.
And the other thing, this day and age, in the olden days, we used to know phone numbers by heart, right? We used to know our family and relatives, people close to us, how to get a hold of them. But now we just say, call Terry or call Josh, you know, and Siri does the work for us or whatever. And so it's important to have those important phone numbers. It maybe your document's in a fireproof box.
It's not a bad
things
idea.
Things like
a screenshot
that.
Of maybe important people.
Important people and phone numbers, and then let other people know. In fact, even on your phone, in case of emergency, is that something still technology you should have in your phone? If you're in an emergency situation, someone stumbles and wants to get a hold of your next of kin.
ICE. Sure. Have you
ICE.
Heard of that?
ICE.
Yeah. And there's a, if you have an iPhone anyway, there's a 3-tap button, which is an emergency call feature.
Okay.
To where all you have to do is tap that side on 3 times. So
I didn't know that.
Shaking it too. I think there's something about. Isn't there something you can set it to shake too?
Yeah, I think you can do that with your watch.
Mm-hmm.
I know if you have a watch like you do,
Apple Watch. Yeah.
If it notices some movement, I know my brother was playing with my son one day, and he got an alert stating that they were going to call because they thought he fell over.
Yes.
Which he did fall over, but it was intentional.
Yes.
So. There's different things like that, absolutely, but you know, don't always be waiting for the phone call to happen. Kind of be proactive, monitor what's going on around in your neighborhoods, and see what everybody else is doing, and then be, you know, knock on your neighbor's door. Maybe you haven't talked to him for a while, and I really think that hive mind of human intel is really important.
We're better
in these moments. Yeah.
Yes,
these
definitely.
Are more positive things that can come out of a negative event.
Exactly.
Make
exactly.
Some lemonade out there by taking these steps.
And be watching our Facebook page, KSLM Radio. We're going to put out alerts to where needs are still happening and where you can get involved. Lots of people are helping build sandwiches at Honky Tonk and bringing stuff in, delivering stuff out into the canyons where the fire departments are and the sheriff departments are. And so we are better together. And I know that. Certainly at the fairgrounds, United Way is taking donations. They are cleaning clothes. Like if you have clothes, maybe you went through your closets this spring and you're like, I need to take this down to Goodwill or whatever. Well, there they sit. Take them down to United Way and we'll put them to good use for people that don't have anything but the shirt on their back. So we are better together. We're going to keep you informed throughout the weekend on our Facebook page. Also our wonderful brand new website, KSLM.news, has some links to what's happening. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Remember, friends, over, under, around, or through, we are overcomers, and we're going to get through this. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you,
Terry, for joining me. You guys have a great weekend.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care now.